podcast, Greater Than Yourself, Season 5. Thank you for listening. Do you have a question about sobriety, the 12 steps, sponsorship, or just want to contact someone from the podcast? Email us at podcastgreaterthanyourself@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at dr_silkworth or a podcast greater than yourself. If you're enjoying the podcast, please give us a rating on your podcast app and share the show with anyone who may benefit.
She just fucking 360 no-scoped me in the back of the fucking gratitude group. All right. Welcome back to a podcast greater than yourself. My name is, as always, in perpetuity, I shall henceforth be known as John Barleycorn. Okay, there. Yeah, I'll edit in some applause and stuff. It'll sound good in post. With me this week, my illustrious co-host, Jane.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain.
It's been minutes.
Yes, not a lot has changed in minutes. Fortunately.
I guess it's always in minutes. That's like the whole one day at a time thing. Yeah. Oh, you know, all we have is one day. It's like, I don't know.
Why not minutes?
Why not a year?
I'm still sober.
Why not 1 year? I've been sober 1 year at a time for 12 years. I'm just like, I don't know, you know. I'm just going to do this 1 year. It makes just as much sense as I'm just going to do today. Just one day. Anyway, then they always start dissecting it into minutes and hours and seconds anyway. And just at this point, this is meaningless, right?
Time is an illusion.
Yes, time is an illusion. Here to defend the concept of time, Hampshire Grenadier. No, I don't know what.
Sorry, I'm late.
Sorry, I'm late. Oh man, let's keep the time jokes rolling. Keep them rolling, folks. Keep them rolling. This is A material. No, let me give you a real introduction, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentle thems. May I introduce. Are you a defunct meme lord at this point? Is that what we would say?
No, I still make them once a month.
Or is that me?
I'm still in it.
I think I'm more defunct than you.
Yeah, you are de facto defunct.
I am a lapsed memetarian. God, that's such a dad joke. Anyway, Hampshire Grenadier from Hollywood's Instagram. How are you? Welcome.
Oh, I'm just dandy. Thanks for having me, Jane. Johnny B. Corn, thank you so much.
Johnny B. Corn tonight.
Happy to be here. I'm happy to be here.
Ooh, feeling it. It's just, you can't, you become a dad and it's just, you just let it go. It just happens.
So when does that happen? Does that happen at birth or does it take time to develop? Or
some people are born dads. So it happens at your birth and you're always a dad. And then eventually maybe you may or may not have kids.
Yeah, okay.
And plus some of us had to be our own dad. So you just grow up in that role anyway. So by the time you become one, you're already one.
See, now he's just bragging about what he's just showing off what he's learned in all the 12-step fellowships he's a part of now.
Yeah, sometimes you have to listen to your inner child, who you are also the parent of.
Right. Yeah. No, this is all good stuff. Anyway, we're doing... Okay, what's the topic? Are you doing a burning desire or are you doing an in defense of? I don't even know.
I would like to do as I was...
Did you spoil it while I was out of the room?
No.
No.
Okay.
Because I want a surprise.
In defense of?
And I would like... Yeah, so... This is something that I can defend for all of about 3 minutes.
Perfect.
And then can ridicule for the next however long we got.
I'm not sure that that's the model that we're shooting for, but I don't know that we really have a model. So I think let's do it.
Good. All right. So I showed up here today.
What are you? Hampshire Grenadier. What are you defending for the next 3 minutes, then shitting on for 47 minutes?
I would like to defend briefly and help to put in place in its place in the universe the book Living Sober.
Oh my god. Brutal. Brutal. Okay.
Oh, I want to see you try.
Fair enough.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. Okay. So, the book Living Sober. Oh, this is going to take a piece of me, but
hang on. We lost John Barleycorn.
No, I'm here.
Okay.
No, he just doesn't want to see his own reaction.
I had to turn my video off for a minute while I threw up.
Okay, so there are some valid reasons why this book should exist. A little backstory: this was the first piece of AA literature I was ever shown.
Oh.
I went to a Wednesday beginners meeting, and this was a meeting where they read a chapter from Living Sober, and they would throw a beanbag around the room, and whoever the beanbag was thrown to would share on it. So my first AA meeting, this was my first exposure to what AA, quote unquote, is. That is not why I'm here to defend it. I'm here to defend it because since having recovered through taking the steps, I think that this is a good piece of literature to give someone if all they're trying to do is white knuckle sobriety. You'll find here in the table of contents that trying to...
Wait, are you looking at a copy of Living Sober?
Yeah, oh, I'm on PDF. I don't own one.
Okay.
There are 32 tips on living sober. The 30th out of 32 is trying the 12 steps.
Powerful.
So if you have tried these other 29 things to try to live sober and they have not worked, which is kind of like, you know, page 31 stuff, then try the 12 steps.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you were to give this to someone who is, quote, sober curious / dying of alcoholism, and didn't really give a shit about the outcome either way, you could absolutely tell them to stay away from the first drink, use the 24-hour plan, make use of telephone therapy, eat or drink something, usually sweet, be grateful, eliminate self-pity, getting out of the if trap. So these things,
I'm sorry, you're trying to defend this, supposedly. Let me stop interrupting you.
So the idea is that, you know, the 12 steps are a last resort. If you can do the right about face and drink like a gentleman, our hats are off to you, gentle person. The steps are a last resort. They were a last resort for me when I tried to stay sober on my own power, when I tried to stay sober on, you know, different drugs that weren't alcohol, which is an oxymoron in itself. The steps were kind of the last option. I had then read the big book and had it read to me and said, these are the steps. Now that we are at page 103, now you've done the steps. It was a very, I don't even know if you can call it a hands-off approach. It feels like the person giving it to me didn't necessarily even own hands. So, you know, with it being a last resort, it's like, okay, after you've done all this shit and you have found that none of it works, now let's try the steps. So I would like to read the first couple lines of suggestion one using this booklet is the title, using the booklet Living Sober. The first quote direction out of here, the first statement, says this booklet does not offer a plan of recovery from alcoholism. The Alcoholics Anonymous steps that summarizes program of recovery are set forth in detail in the books plural, Alcoholics Anonymous and 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. So
yikes.
If you were to you know, negate the last six letters or six words of that first sentence, second sentence, that's great. So right off the bat, at least, they're pointing me toward the book Alcoholics Anonymous. So if I were to close it there, because I want to take the steps, I no longer need this book. This book has served its purpose. Yep. Now, there's a couple other, you know, little things that are in here. So if we go to, if you could turn, please, to page 81.
My copy of Living Sober, my well-thumbed copy.
Yeah, yeah, Jane,
my,
if you could, if
my
you could just
dog-eared copy
handy.
Of Living Sober.
Yeah, if you could just,
it's always fun to see what your friends have highlighted that's different than you in their copy of Living Sober.
When all else fails, this is suggestion 30, trying the 12 steps. When all else fails, said the old country doctor, follow directions.
What?
We have not talked about the 12 steps offered by AA as a program of recovery from alcoholism. And they are not going to be listed or explained here, because anyone curious about them can find them elsewhere. So, I mean, you know, as revolting as this is as a piece of literature, it does have the ability to at least let you know up front in different places. If you're curious about the 12 steps, this is not the place that you will learn about them. They do not, they're not even written in this book. If all you're trying to do is just, I don't even want to say not drink today, but not drink today, perhaps you could spend your whole day just, let's see here, remembering your last drunk, or avoiding dangerous drugs and medications. But if you want to get well, we all in this Zoom know that the answer is found in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. So that's pretty much my only defense, and it's kind of weak. But I do think that this book has a good place in literature described by AA, and that's a general conference approved, because it does point people to go back to the big book in order to recover from alcoholism. If all you're trying to do is outlast alcoholism and all those things fail, then perhaps the 12 steps are for you. If you've run out of candy to eat, perhaps remembering that alcoholism is an incurable, progressive, fatal disease, and that is not working for you, maybe try the steps. This is like a good appetizer for people who are suffering. And if they can go through this and they've already ticked off the first 29 things, perhaps the 30th will work. It's sort of like on page 31 when we talk about taking a drink, not taking a drink, only drinking natural wines. These are the methods that the first 100 used to not take a drink anymore. I feel like those were expanded upon in this book, and it's almost like a precursor to step one. If all these things have not worked for you, and you can pick this book up for your very first AA meeting and say, yeah, I've tried all these things, and I'm 3 days off of, you know, one of the worst benders of my drinking career, and I really don't want to drink anymore but can't figure out how not to do that, then hopefully, as it was for me at the end of my first meeting, a woman gave me a big book and said, this is the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm going to buy this book for you. Here you go. And then I left that meeting with the big book and Living Sober, because I was told to take that book home too by someone else. I still have one of those books, and it is not the latter. So I guess that's my defense. And now I am happy to chat all over this thing with you two today.
So thank you. Thank you for reminding me that book exists. I always forget about it. I pulled up the PDF while you were speaking. I didn't want you to think, I just letting you know, I'm not like browsing LinkedIn. So there's this chapter, I've mentioned it a few times on the show. Chapter loose, very loose. this is a chunk of this booklet, I guess you could call it. It's called Reading the AA Message. Perhaps obvious reason I thought of this when you were making your little defense there. It lists AA literature, right? So the first thing, in fairness, the first thing it lists is the book Alcoholics Anonymous. So I think that's cool. That's good. It's, you know, it's at least mentioning the book, right? But then what's funny, maybe not funny, but striking, is it gives just as much copy to the big book as it gives to pamphlets. Just the subject is just pamphlets. And it's about the same amount as it does to the Grapevine, which we all know is our meeting in print.
Obviously.
So the first thing that comes to mind when you're talking is that living sober is a fantastic resource unless you're an alcoholic. Right?
Fair enough.
Yep.
And I think if that is the approach, then defense successful. I think you've defended
it. That's where you put in clapping. That's where you put in clapping.
That's right. I dub in the Final Four college basketball erupting crowd. Yeah. There you go. Success. Yeah, I mean, I think that no one's going to differ much in opinion here on living sober. But here's my thing. This is my confusion. We've talked about something like this kind of recently. There's this phenomenon in recovery humor spaces, or even just recovery education or harm reduction or whatever spaces in social media, where people, and so it's not specific to that. I think it's an extension of the recovery community at large, but people jump in with this, how dare you say you can only recover one way, or there's only one way to recover kind of stuff. And I think that that is a large part of the fan base of this book. It's the, who are you to say that recovery looks like one thing or whatever, right? And the interesting thing to me about that is that where I'm coming from and where I see the people who those responses are to are coming from is not recovery looks like one thing and you can only recover one way, but rather I have this specific set of symptoms that differentiates me as a specific type of person. And the book Alcoholics Anonymous has a specific set of directions to recover from that specific condition. And many other things are not that thing. Just like a fucking apple ain't a banana. They're both delicious. Enjoy all the apples you want. I'm in the mood for a banana. You know, I mean, it's just like these are different things. And so I think that a lot of the pushback and a lot of the culture around meetings where this, again, it's hard to call it a book, where this book is used, it kind of is used to prop up that sort of recovery can look like anything. And I think that that's true when the thing that you're trying to recover from is not alcoholism. I think if you're trying to recover from, you know, crippling loneliness or something like that, that causes, or like, you know, a sleeping problem that causes you to like drink too much or too often, the tips in this book might, I keep getting hung up every time I say the word book, the tips in this book might be helpful. Maybe those work for you. And if they don't, then, or if they do, then cool. You don't need to gum up the works at AA. You can just go do that, right?
Here's a copy of Living Sober. Fuck off.
Here's a copy. Please refer to suggestion 29 going to AA meetings.
Yes.
They do talk about the different kinds of AA meetings in this book. And there's a question in boldface that says, do we have to go to these meetings for the rest of our lives? And the answer is not at all, unless we want to.
Hmm.
Okay.
That's actually an interesting thing that I do. I'll tell you that there is some bipolar information in Living Sober. Some of the stuff in Living Sober, and you already with your like opening salvo, you already brought some of that to light, where it's like, hey, this book isn't going to tell you how to recover from alcoholism. Like, it just like flat out says that, right? Cool. And then right there, it's just like, yeah, no, you don't need to go to meetings. That's cool. It's just like, oh, I'm sorry, what? Because I don't, have you ever met a person who digs this book who would say that?
No. Not at all. Not at all. I've been to a lot of the meetings, pre-steps that have this book, and some of the ones post-taking the steps, they brought it back to a Living Sober meeting after it was open discussion held for a while. Open held discussion for beginners, TM. Mm. And I got told by, the meeting was told by the chair that this is an incredible book and that there's a lot of useful information in here. And I don't think they were referring to the parts where it says, this book does not contain the directions, the instructions on how to recover from alcoholism.
Right.
It was probably more along the lines of, you know, eating something sweet, you know. So once you, you know, I mean, in my experience, I was given this in conjunction with the big book. This book was a lot thinner. Mm. And without knowing what I was suffering from, all I thought that I had to do was just not drink anymore and life would get better. Because when you look around the room in AA, in an AA meeting, and you see someone with 32 years, 35 years, and the only advice they have to give you is just keep coming here, it is easy to assume that it is going to be time that is going to get me as well as these people.
Right.
So I took some of the directions from this book, and in active alcoholism, never went to the dentist. Went after 8 years, had zero cavities, went back for a yearly checkup or a 6-month checkup and had 3 because of the copious amounts of
candy eating son of a bitch.
shoveling into my suck hole every night before bed. So, you know, this book is great for dentists, bad for alcoholics, you know.
Big dentistry and Living Sober.
There's a conspiracy.
Yeah, I was taking a moment to like look this over and kind of gather my thoughts. So your basic defense, Hampy. Is it Hampy or Hampie? What are we?
Please call me Hampy. Hampie is my father.
Okay. Hampy. So your basic defense is, in spite of all of its fault, this book does say this is not a program of recovery. You should try the 12 steps. And I do think that putting the 12 steps at the bottom of the list was a deliberate editorial choice, right? Like, if they had put that first and then listed all of the other things you could do, then they're giving the impression the 12 steps aren't really going to work. You're going to need all this other stuff.
Mm.
Putting it at the bottom was a decent choice editorially. And I was looking at the end pages. What do you call them? I should know what this is called. The copyright page. Because I was trying to figure out if I could see, like, who wrote this.
Was this written
by a committee?
Closing credits.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for.
The credits. Thank you. That's the official librarian term for that. It's possible that this was written by committee, and there was that one guy on the committee that was like, no, AA is the 12 steps. What the fuck is wrong with you people? And they're like, all right, put in number 30 for Jim. Like... that fucking big book thumper. I don't know. I like to imagine when I read these like conference approved books, like what was that meeting like where they discussed this? We've all been to a business meeting. We know how crazy it gets.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to put myself in the shoes of like when I was a new person. I read this book, I think, before I ever went to a meeting. Like, and I don't know how I found out about it without going to a meeting. I must have like, I must have been on the AA subreddit and somebody mentioned it. I didn't know what AA was. I didn't know what to expect. I found this book not helpful, but it was reassuring because it has a sort of light, non-judgmental tone. The only thing I knew about AA really was that they made you do some like weird religious stuff. And I assumed it was a place where you went and people like shouted at you and told you to get Jesus. So reading this, I was like, oh, okay, this is actually really practical advice. These people seem like normal people who are trying to be helpful. So as an entry point, it wasn't the worst thing, right? It was accessible to me as someone who was like 12 hours sober and struggling to string sentences together. Mm-hmm. There was no advice in here that was new to me. The 24-hour plan, like just don't drink for today. I thought I had invented that, right? I had been doing that for over a decade at that point. When I needed to like cut back or quit, I was like, I would get myself through it by being like, okay, just not for today. Just not today,
just,
right?
Just not for today.
So I read that in this book and I remember thinking like, ooh, I'm really smart. I came up with that one already. I'm ahead of the game here, right? But I think at the end of the day, oh, so I was also one of those people who was offended by the memes about living sober in the beginning. And I think for me, it was just that, like, I thought I was being made fun of, right? I was like, I've read that book. I have that book. Why are you making fun of me? This is the book they gave me. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Right. Are you laughing at me because I read this book, right? I didn't understand that, like, the joke is about AA as a whole and, like, how we're kind of failing the newcomers. And also, on a deep level, I sort of felt that I wasn't being helped by this type of advice, and it made me uncomfortable, and I didn't want to confront it. So I think that was a big part of my defensiveness. I was like, I mean, shit, yeah, he has a point. Like, this shit isn't helping me. This is just more of the advice that I've been getting for years that hasn't helped.
Right.
Anyway, that's my take.
I think there's also, like, a good distinction of what John was saying. About, you know, this is a great book if you're not an alcoholic. This is also a great book if you don't know that you're suffering from alcoholism.
Sure.
Now, I say that because when I came in, I did not know what I was suffering from. I knew that there was generational alcoholism in my family. I probably had it, but I didn't have that, like that Dr. Bob experience where someone sat down and explained to me, this is what is going on with your mind. This is your reaction to sobriety. This is your reaction to alcohol. And I feel like once I had that reaction or that conversation and felt that experience of, I cannot control the amount that I take once I start, and I cannot stay stopped when I honestly want to stay stopped. I'm drinking against my own will multiple times a week. There's no going back, because the whole point of the idea of the AA program, you know, in chapter 7 is to talk about your drinking escapades, you know, and then it kind of set that hook of getting the newcomer or the prospect to ask, well, how did you do it? So if someone had sat down with me and been like, all right, this is page 21, you know what I mean? This is all the stuff that's going on. You are unable to make the choice as to whether you're going to drink or not again. And then once you start and you give into that obsession, you are not going to be able to control the amount that you take once you start, all the, you know, inherent suffering that comes with that. Here's a copy of Living Sober in a fucking bag of Walmart size, fun size Hershey bars. Go get them. You know, I would have been like, oh, like, what the fuck? Like, that
what's that
going like
to do?
Would be the solution. Yeah. You know, and it's like, come back when you got a cavity, kid. You know, but I've heard, you know, old anecdotes of, you know, people that had been coming around for a while and, you know, didn't seem to get it. And this would, you know, melt the faces off of a lot of people nowadays. One of the old timers who ostensibly had recovered would be like, here's $10, dude, go get drunk, come back when you're ready. If you're not ready, we have nothing for you. You know, and when an old timer here mentions that story from like the 80s or the 90s, you can feel people bristle with antagonism in the room, but it's true. If you're not ready, you know, the book asks you to ask the prospect, are you done? Because if you're not done, there's nothing this can do for you. And if you're done, you have to know that you're not going to be done for long without putting power between you and a drink. You might be done for a little while. Living sober was a great way for me to stop drinking for 5 months, white knuckling it, still, you know, smoking just as much weed as Bob Marley, because I was convinced by going to a few meetings that alcohol was my problem, because I was met with a bunch of people who did not want to harm me, but did not really know what the solution to alcoholism was, as it's laid out in the book, except for the woman maybe that gave me the book. She at least knew to give a newcomer a copy of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, you know, if I don't know that I'm suffering from alcoholism, perhaps Almond Joys and Reese's can get me through the next 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's something to be said about, I have met tons of people where I will start the steps, in quotes, with them, who are just plain not in a place where they have tried enough things to actually do the steps, you know? And like, that's not like, I don't go into those interactions having deemed that by some, you know, Swami-like divination or something. It's just my experience working with them. We talk, we meet, lay out the course of action, and it's just, I think I got other options. You know, that's what their actions end up showing, that they think they have other options. And so maybe they do, right? To Jane's point of the steps being presented at the end, I mean, I've always balked at it. It's like when you see the sponsorship pamphlet and it's like 68 things sponsors can offer, you know, and then it's like, maybe look at the 12 steps, you know. So I think that there is kind of value in that, though, because it's like, it's almost just like another sieve to like sort out non-alcoholics, you know? It's like, this shit working for you? Cool. All right. Yeah, just do that. But it's like, there's never the qualifier of like, but don't go to meetings. Like, you know, it's like, stay away from other, you know what I mean? It's like, don't try to help anyone with this, you know? Because I think that that's kind of the logic that often I hear presented in defense of like this, anything works, whatever works, whatever you want to do. The kind of justification of it or rationalization of it is like, hey, if that's working for them, that's great. Let them share that with people. Maybe that'll work for people. And I'm like, I agree with you. If it stops there, if it's like one person, like clearly not suffering from alcoholism, the, you know, symptoms you just described, and then they find someone who's also that same type of person, whatever that type of person is, non-alcoholic is what I would call it. And they present those tips and those guys just have a little, hey, we're sober tip buddies. We share tips. We touch tips.
Accountability buddies.
Yeah, we're accountability buddies and we touch tips and we keep each other sober. Cool. Awesome. Because here's the thing. This is to Jane's point. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, in the time that I came when I was fucking done and able to actually do the stuff, like just, I don't have other options. First off, I was in a position where I was so fucking humiliated to even be thinking about going back to AA that it was like, dude, it's this or fucking 38 special up my fucking mouth, right?
Dwyer style.
Right, yeah. I was trying to wake up and not drink just that day. I was trying that a lot. And you know what that looked like for me? That was a really miserably long day where I just literally stared at the clock. And it was horrifyingly difficult. And when people suggested that to me, the like emotional crush that I experienced from that was not so much, well, I've already tried that and it doesn't work. It was, I'm here at AA humiliating myself, asking for help, and you fucking got nothing. You're just telling me that. I've already been doing that. Yeah. I had tried reading. I had tried reading things about like self-exploration, self-help, all these different methods, right? I had tried that shit. I had tried fellowship. I had tried being a part of a group of people who don't drink. I had tried that. I had tried prayer. There's a whole fucking little, again, chapter is a bit generous. There's a whole chapter using the serenity prayer. I had tried that. I had tried prayer. I had tried therapy. I had tried phone therapy or whatever they call it, like dumping my shit on people, talking to people about my problems. The candy thing always kills me because I always think about in the throes of opioid addiction, my buddy coming over and like just offhandedly making a comment that like he noticed how much chocolate I was eating. And he was just like, yeah, I noticed that too when I got when I got addicted to heroin that I started eating a lot of chocolate. And I was just like, I hadn't made the connection, and I was like, oh, you know what? You're right.
I'm addicted to like, heroin.
I'm like, yeah, yeah, these, you know, I'm like, yeah, these kind of align. And it's just like, yeah, okay. So you're like, to me, it feels so insulting to just be like given all this stuff that like I'm already doing all this stuff. That's why I'm here. I'm at AA because like, do you think that this is my first fucking option? Like, I haven't even tried to stop drinking. What you're describing is trying to stop drinking. That's what you're describing in this book. You think I haven't tried to do that? You think I just like woke up and I was like, wow, first hangover of my life? I'm going to an AA meeting. It's just like, what the fuck are you talking about? So that's like weird and deeply insulting and I think patronizing to like, and that's one of my biggest problems with this. But I think ultimately it's all trumped by like, none of this works for alcoholism and like, so it doesn't belong in an AA meeting. But I think outside of an AA meeting, presenting this stuff to someone, I think the only defense of it is the one that you brought up, which is like, okay, well, here's another thing you can look at and be, it's kind of like a checklist. Like, you try all this shit? Well, pretty sure you didn't try number 30. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. And when you describe all that, you know, all the stuff, you know, it's like, I had one question for you, John Barleycorn. Did you ever try to get out of the if trap?
Right. Yeah. I'm not. If that is that, is that anything like, is that similar to future tripping?
Well, it says here,
I get my Southern California recovery language mixed up.
Yeah, just follow along real quick. Page 61, it says, one AA member says, we drunks are very iffy people. And there's an asterisk after drunks, which says, footnote, some of us AAs refer to ourselves as drunks, no matter how long we have been sober. Others prefer alcoholics. There are good reasons for both terms. Drunks is lighthearted, tends to keep the ego down to size, and reminds us of our proneness to drinking. Alcoholics is equally honest, but more dignified and more in keeping with the now widely accepted idea that alcoholism is a perfectly respectable illness, not just willful self-indulgence. So, you know, had you known that...
I like using drunks because it lends the playful pastiche of a 1960s hobo.
He's a drunk. And you're like, pass out on the subway, great, with your hand down your pants.
Little vaudeville act. Guys in hobo makeup. Yes. Yeah.
Velvet clown painting vibe.
My culture is not your costume.
I was gonna say you were talking about like the if trap, and then there's similar stuff I'm seeing in the
if trap
contents, like the if trap, right?
Starring Lindsay Lohan.
Avoiding resentment is one of them. There's another one, avoiding self-pity. That's stuff you learn in step four.
Right.
So it's like, it's weird that they're putting the cart before the horse on this one. Like,
yeah.
I don't tell a sponsee to avoid self-pity until they've learned how to write inventory and they're bringing me regular inventory. That's when we have that conversation.
Yeah.
I would absolutely not ask someone brand new to the program at their first meeting, 3 days sober, like, you need to get out of self-pity. First of all, it's going to land wrong. They're going to hear me saying like, well, your only problem is that you feel sorry for yourself, which is not what that means at all. Right. And if you've done the steps, by the time you introduce that concept, it hits totally different.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, you can't expect them to do that without the tools of the program.
Right.
It speaks to
you being a person who has access to the power to apply those ideals.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that that's like the intrinsic problem with trying to use this book in any like substantive way. It's just like, that goes to what I was saying. It's like, I was doing all of those things. I was doing them as well as I was able to do them. Like, I have no more ability to do them after I like crossed the threshold into this like portable building behind a church into your meeting than I did before I fucking crossed the threshold to it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, are we going to talk about a plan of action to get me connected to some power so I could actually, you know, do some of those things? Granted, with different language and actual direction and probably some shift in perspective on what the meaning of those things are. But no, it's just more direction that I don't have the power to apply.
Oh, it also feels like, you know, if you were to read this entire book, the same as I could say maybe with the 12 and 12, if you were to highlight things that reinforce what the big book is saying and only use those things, like, you know, not read all the other information about it and just stick to those highlighted things, perhaps those things could be helpful, but not in place of the directions. So like Jane was saying, telling someone, and I don't remember what chapter we were on when I came into my first AA meeting. I have no idea. But like Jane was saying, telling someone who is still vibrating, you know, shaking like a dog shit and razor blades to just stop feeling sorry for yourself. You know, that's your problem. You feel sorry for yourself and you need to not, while you're still vibrating. Like she said, like it's going to land wrong. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be helpful. And if, you know, I have taken these steps and my one job in the meeting is to try to place myself in a position to be helpful to a suffering alcoholic. That's not even the first direction in working with others. It's find out all you can about him. It's to be like, oh, I noticed you're shaking. And I noticed that, you know, you look like you might've just survived a suicide attempt. Perhaps maybe you should stop feeling sorry for yourself. Ugh. That might be, that might be what you do, you know? But instead I'm going to wrap all that up in, I'll just keep coming back, as if, you know, getting berated by people who haven't been drunk in 30 years, willfully or not willfully, is going to land eventually.
Hmm.
Cause that's essentially what I was given when I first came in. If you just keep coming to this room over and over again, and I waited 3 years for something to just click in me, in a meeting that would, you know, break the ceiling to God or whatever. And conveniently enough, as God tends to do sometimes, God spoke to me through my wife, who said, there's a baby coming in July. You can't be going to six meetings a week, dude. And that was God saying, you've never taken these steps. You've been without a drink for 3 years. You've been actually sober for a year of it. And you still haven't taken these steps. And now we're in 8 months. We are going to essentially take your medicine away from you. There's now a countdown. It's time for you to get well. And I didn't know that was what I was being told in the meantime. I thought, you know, I was sick and someone was trying to take my medicine away from me. And, you know, how dare she just to raise a child? Come on. you know, but
what a
but
dick.
That was, you know, if, yeah, what a dick. You know, if God is everything or God is nothing, God spoke to me in that moment and was like, yeah, you need to do this thing. You kicked the can down the road long enough. You are ill prepared to go without meetings because meetings are your medicine. It's time for you to take the steps. And, so, you know, I had new desperation, you know, there, and I'm like, well, you know, it might take longer than 8 months to do the steps, you know, because I'd never done them before. I had no idea what I was getting into. And then 60 days later, I was going back to that same meeting, trying to find someone to help instead of going there to, try to dazzle people that I knew how to, you know, quote, speak AA, while all the while quoting the book Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse. And, you know, just generally, you know, as one of our favorite mutuals says, throw my day up on the table for everyone else to clean up. I was given new orders. And I had no idea that was what was in store for me, but yeah.
Yeah, you've both mentioned, I actually didn't even catch this until you both brought it up, just the total lack of spiritual content in this book. And I think I understand why they chose to do it that way, because maybe a newcomer would be intimidated by that. But like, the spiritual stuff is what sets AA apart from everything else. Like, eat a piece of candy when you want to drink 24 hours at a time. Stay away from the first one. You can get that. You can get that anywhere, right? You can get that in like an IOP meeting. You can get that from your therapist. I got that from like the stacks of self-help books that I read for heavy drinkers. The thing that AA offers that no other program of recovery offers is a way to get close to the God of your understanding. And we've left this out. And it's part of this general trend that I see in AA literature, you know, if you kind of look at it down the line of like, we're gonna remove the stuff that intimidates people, but the stuff that intimidates people is like the only thing we offer that's unique. So then like, what's the point of having AA at all at that point?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I guess if I were going to speak in defense here, the only thing that I feel like we kind of been shitting on candy. Can we all agree candy fucking rules? Candy's pretty cool, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, candy is a bomb. I will.
Yeah.
I fuck with sour mints. I've been fucking with those recently. Like icebreakers, sugar-free sour mints. Those are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like gummy candies.
A couple of times.
Gummies are great.
Gummy peach rings.
Yeah.
Oh, gummy peach rings are fucking goated.
My
dude.
Weakness.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's it. If I have a weakness, it's
mix?
Gummy peach rings.
What about a nice Three Musketeers? Does anyone fuck with the Three Musketeers?
Yeah. Man. If we're talking commercial, like slave chocolate bars, I'm going Snickers.
Oh, I don't like nuts in my candy. No.
Yeah, I just feel like the nougat in Snickers is like, it has a very specific type of nougat. It's like maybe a little salty or something. There's something specific going on with the Snickers nougat. I really like it. And caramel, you can't go wrong with caramel. I mean, give me a break.
It is time for somebody's nap.
Yeah, is that like a diagram of trippy mushrooms above your baby's crib?
Yeah.
I love it.
Hell yeah.
Is your baby sober, dude? And then,
yeah, she's sober enough.
Is she following your
months.
Model? Your model of alcohol free for 3 years, but actually sober for one.
Yeah, she's never fallen into the if trap. She's just danced around it.
Awesome.
Actually, that might come later. Be prepared.
Always be vigilant for the if trap, sweetie. Okay.
Don't fall into daddy's if trap.
Amazing.
Or just be the classic alcoholic. Like, this is daddy's if trap. You can go find your own.
Yeah. There we go. Stake your claim. Well, yeah, I don't know how well you did defending. Yes, Ms. Rachel. I love it. I don't know how well you did defending living sober, but this was a great chat.
Oh shit. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I did that great of a job defending it either. but I really honestly don't care what you think in the most loving way possible. No,
I thought you made a good point that the book does not, and in fact explicitly says that it's not the program of recovery. It does say that up front, yeah. And that it does mention doing the steps. So you got to give it that much.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's good at that. It's good at referring you back to the book Alcoholics Anonymous. But I think, and I know that we're about to wrap this up, but I think it gets a pass because it's AA conference approved literature.
Right.
That there's this idea. I think that there's this mysticism in the rooms that whatever you hear in AA or whatever AA allows you to experience, that is AA.
Right.
So, you know, oh, well, like, you know, it's like if you went to church and all of a sudden they had a copy of, you know, Baby's First Words, you'd be like, oh, well, this must be the word of the church because it's in the church and we're reading it, you know, in the church. So of course, ball, dog, cat, mama, why not? Of course.
Yes. Reading this book, you know, as a newcomer gave me the impression that this is what AA is. You basically use these little tips and tricks to stay sober until you rack up enough time that, like, I don't know, something miraculous happens and then you're just, it just goes away somehow, which was not an accurate perception, possibly right. Damaging.
No, kind of a bummer. Yeah, definitely damaging.
Yeah, it's like if you show up to church and they're like, well, here's the Bible, but then here's this book that's an eighth as long, and it's got a colorful image on the front, and it's called Jesus Christ and the Chamber of Secrets or whatever, and you're just like, oh yeah, well, that sounds more fun. Cool.
It doesn't seem as daunting.
You're just like, and presented with like equal import, though, you know. It's like, yeah, you know, take it or leave it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's even when you see it's like the big book, you're like, oh my God, I don't have, there's no way that I'm going to do 570 pages worth of this until you realize that there's only 164 pages in the entire program, you know, of the actual meat of the book. And I've been to meetings where I've seen the abridged big book that has none of the personal stories. It ends at Dr. Bob's Nightmare. It's, mm-hmm. it's forward to the first edition, Dr. Bob's Nightmare. And even that's still thicker than Living Sober.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, what a bummer, but yeah, I mean, you know, at least this book will point you in the right direction. I mean, it eventually got me in the right direction. Like I said, I left my first meeting with a copy of the big book. You know, I still use the big book, and working with others and, you know, my own spiritual practices, but,
so you're saying sober, you don't use Living Sober and sponsorship at all?
Now, after having this specific conversation, I might, in a step one conversation, I'll just rip out the table of contents.
Dude, that actually might be like a fucking baller move to just be like, hey, so, have you tried stuff like this? Have you tried like all this crap? Okay. So yeah,
exactly. and then like whip it behind you or you just rip it in half in front of them and be like, this ain't gonna work, dude. I mean, I feel like you could use the table of contents in conjunction with page 31,
right?
To like when you get to the bottom of like solemnly taking an oath or whatever, and then you could be like, "Have you tried steering clear of emotional entanglements?" And like, I don't know, there was a certain exception that I took to that because it's like, well, AA, the big book teaches you how to reenter the mainstream of life, while this book is telling you to steer clear of emotional entanglements. And I think the first line of this is like, don't fall in love with your doctor. If I remember correctly. Yeah. It was like, don't bang your doctor. Oh, where is it? Now I got to read it. Oh man. I'm not going to look that hard for it. Eliminating self-pity, seeking professional help. Oh yeah. Falling in love with your doctor or nurse or a fellow patient is an old romantic story. That's how they,
okay. It's just like, are you sure that's not your specific, like a hyper specific personal experience? Whatever weirdo wrote that. That's one of those things where like at the committee meeting where they're like editing the book, they're like, all right, up for a vote is the falling in love with your doctor is a common thing that's happened. K Kate, I know you were big on including this piece. Kate's over there with like 8 ex-husband doctors.
And then someone's like, concept 5, I would prefer to say bringing a bouquet of roses to the glory hole is an old romantic story. Like, no, we're not doing that.
Concept 5. Coming in off the top ropes, concept Thumper Joe.
The only concept that I'm aware of is concept 5 because it gives me the right to disagree with you, and then you'll hear me disagree with you for the next 10 minutes.
Incredible. Incredible.
So it's the only one that I remember off the top of my head. Yeah, you bring concept 5 in, people are like, fuck,
this guy knows concept. He's fucking making big brain meeting moves over here. Shit.
This guy knows one concept, and it's the arguing concept.
I'm trying to look wise over here. Arguing. I don't know my concepts. Sorry.
Oh, come on. Come on, Jane. You got to get hip on the concepts.
I know. I'm a bad AA member.
All right.
You're one of my favorite AA members.
We're going to... Yeah, me too. I love Jane. Jane's the best.
Guys.
Jane's the fucking bomb, dude.
I'm blushing.
Jane's the shit. I can see you. Yeah, this is video, so you can't lie about the blush.
Yeah, and I like, wanted to bring
whips
this up
out a compact.
Can you stop? I wanted to bring this up earlier. Can you stop waving the sponsorship pamphlet around, Jane? Like, we understand you have a copy.
I remember back when we first started this shindig. I think it was like. I don't know, a few months before we started the podcast, there was in the city we were in, there was a local committee. It was like the treatment facility committee. And we were always, because a couple of us were members, we were always just petitioning like, yeah, you know, the surplus of cash that you're sitting on, like, we could just buy a ton of big books to take into these treatment centers that we're doing meetings at. And it was always just like, you know, after sometimes hours, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, it was always the rebuttal would be like, or hear us out, or here's some pamphlets. And these are really cheap, and give these. People love pamphlets, you know. and so that facility decided to put together a workshop thing, and I was just like, cool, yeah, I like to be part of workshops. But then it ended up being sponsoring people with outside issues. It was like sponsoring, it was basically like teaching people how to be a therapist for people's mental health while sponsoring them.
Oh,
and I'm just like,
I don't wanna do that.
I'm just like, this is so not any of your business, dude. Please stop letting people, like, leading people to believe that they're responsible for that or at all capable of doing that. Like, not your thing. And I think a big chunk of living sober is like that. It's like, not only is a lot of this shit stuff I've already tried and failed at, but another big chunk of it is just like, we don't even need to get into a lot of this to recover from alcoholism, you know? This is like so unnecessary. Like the actual work that the steps require is so much easier and simpler than all the shit in that book. And that's a big part of why. It's a big part of why I was unable to do a lot of that stuff successfully. Cause like, again, I don't have the power to do that shit, but I could like in order, do the stuff in the steps and then get access to power to like live successfully in a way that's like blueprinted directly for me, you know?
Yeah. And perhaps God says you need therapy.
Yeah.
You know, and then
which he does
therapy. And
he
you
does
deal
say
with,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. He does. that's the 14th step is finally going to therapy.
Mm. Well, this is great, dude. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's great to see you guys.
Yeah, you too.
What was that? What was that chocolate that we ate in that city that we were in that one time?
Oh, dude, which one? The red wrapper?
The one that was like Wonka-esque.
Oh, the one that was all cut into crazy pieces?
Yeah.
That's Tony Chocolonely.
Yeah.
Not slave chocolate.
Chocolate only.
Slavery-free chocolate.
Yeah.
That's why the bar is broken up in all those weird pieces. It's to represent the shares of the profits from the company, where it goes to, like, the farmers and all those people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's some real communist shit, dude. Dig it.
Oh, I just thought they were being, goofy.
Silly.
I didn't read the package.
Yeah, it's like a big thing.
I just thought it was a little stinker energy.
Yeah, it's a little stinker energy. All right, man. I'm going to wrap it up.
All right.
This has been a podcast greater than yourself.
A podcast greater than yourself was created by recovered alcoholics. All involved in the creation of this podcast are active members of Alcoholics Anonymous who wish to carry the message of our own recovery to those who still suffer. We do not claim to represent Alcoholics Anonymous. All comments are from our own experiences as alcoholics who have recovered by following the directions for the 12 steps found in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. Thanks for listening.